You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Welcome to Finishing Well today with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. Today's show, we're talking about retirement income and a little bit about, you know, working with other people in relationship. I guess that's, you know, kind of what's going on there. And I was going to tell a short story, Hans,
sure.
About, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was involved in an event that it was a ministry event, and I was really kind of hurt by what happened. And the next morning, I was essentially mad at God, and I was telling him all about all that in prayer early in the morning, like I often pray. And I was really, really upset, and I'd been upset all night, and I woke up in the morning upset, and I'd been upset for a while. And all of a sudden, you know, in this prayer time, Jesus just kind of said to me, "Robbie, do you trust me?" And he said it in such a way that, like, in his presence is fullness of joy. I mean, like, it's like, oh, yeah, Lord, I trust you. And immediately, it was like I'd taken a pill of some kind. I went from being really, really upset to, oh, I'm good, because I could feel in my heart that I was completely in a good place if I could trust him with whatever was going on. Now, he threw that word out to me, knowing that I would begin to study that word and think about that word. And as I studied the word, trust, which is critical to retirement income, by the way, if you hadn't put that together. But the word trust, when you begin to look at that in Hebrew, the letter starts with this, like, it looks like a wedding huppah, and it has everything to do with a wedding. And the second letter, and it looks like a wedding ring. And so as I was looking at this, what has to do with trust, they were talking about marriage. I mean, clearly. And I thought, well, yeah, he's my future bride. You know, that's kind of what Jesus is. And so, yeah, and there's a lot about in a Jewish wedding where they get married under a huppah, and then the bride goes around the groom seven times so that, you know, he will trust her to let the walls go down of her heart, which is all ought to do with relationship. And then while I was pondering all that, I went to thinking, well, now, all this has to do with the number 15 in Hebrew, and like, oh my goodness, it's October 15th, and all of a sudden I went, oh, Jesus, it's my wedding anniversary, and I was so upset about the other thing, I'd forgotten my wedding anniversary. I mean, what are you thinking? And it was like, I learned something, that two things about trust that I think are extremely helpful. Number one, when Jesus said, "Do you trust me?" He knew something I did not know at that moment, which is, today's your anniversary, Robbie. So it was a really good thing that I trusted him. But also, it was that sense of trust in Hebrew actually is almost like medicine. Like, you take a pill, like, you'll feel better. Well, if you could find a financial advisor that you really could drop down the guard of your heart and let him into the situation and believe in him that way, Hans, it would make a lot of people feel a lot better. It's a struggle from your angle, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and so we struggled a bit about this show, as we always do. First of all, naming the show, and then really just zeroing in on what the topics are and what it is we want to teach the listeners out there. And this show is always a struggle, because one of the reasons, I think, is that a lot of folks out there, before they've met me and they've met us and they've met our firm and they've read our books and they've listened to us on the show, they kind of think that, like, investment, that's all we do. I mean, I'm a certified financial planner, and so they're really going to define us by how we can invest their money and what kind of return we can get for them. And so I always view that, when I'm dealing with a new client, that is one of the first things that I'm going to need to get clear with them. This is one of the things we do, is invest your money. And we even do this a little bit differently than the rest of the mainstream, because we're more concerned not with the return on your money, but we're concerned about the income that your money can produce, both out of principal and interest, and how long that's going to last in your retirement. So to be clear, we're more focused on how much money you can live off of and spend out of your retirement savings and your investments. How much monthly income or yearly income can you pull out of these things safely? And what kind of guarantees do you have that that money is going to be there for you in your old age?
Right. So what I'm understanding is you got these seven areas that are in your book that are outlined in these seven chapters. And you kind of are saying that investment's just one of the seven: long-term care, Social Security, Medicare, you know, IRAs, taxes. Those things are all part of the overall equation that is really, from your standpoint, more important than any one of them standing alone, because it's not going to be in a vacuum.
Well, absolutely. And then I'm going to tell you is this is probably the easiest one for the armchair quarterback to have an opinion on, okay? And it's the easiest thing to think that they understand it. So in other words, if you're coming in to see me, or you're listening to me speak, or you're reading my book, I mean, you can get into the Social Security spot, you can get lost real fast. Same thing with Medicare and long-term care. And certainly investing has a lot of complicated stuff, but at its basic level is you know, invest money. You can do it in stocks or put it in the bank or buy bonds. And by the end of the year, they're either worth more than the beginning of the year, or they're worth the same, or they're worth less. And it's typically quantifiable, it's measurable. And then most people have some experience, at least, with money. And they've perhaps had it in a 401k, so they've been managing it. So the point I'm trying to make is, well, there's really two points. One is that many people think this is all we do, is we take your money and then we've got a secret sauce that's a little better than the next guy's secret sauce, or so we think, and then we're going to invest it in these stocks and bonds, and then we believe and we're going to make you believe that we can make you more money than the next guy, okay? And we do way more than that. In fact, I don't know that I'd make that argument to you. So it's, people tend to define us by this one of the seven worries of this chapter is investment. That's the people on the outside looking in that are defining us. And then really the second piece is I look at money in retirement and retirement savings more from an income standpoint than I do from a returns or investment standpoint. And I guess, you know, a dovetail of that point is generally you need to be conservative when you get to retirement. You need to have your money invested safely, and you need to have smaller amounts of it at risk. And as you age, that needs to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And that goes against getting high returns. I mean, those two things don't go together.
So, stories.
Okay, well, I just think about this lady that came to me last night by referral. And I'm dealing with her over the phone. She's a nurse down in Charleston. She's going to start listening to our show on the podcast. She didn't know it was available. And she really, when I first meet somebody, I think, you know, what sort of problem are we trying to solve here? I mean, what is the problem as you see it? I mean, I don't come right out and say that, but I just talk to him a little bit. And, you know, her problem is she'd like to retire in January, February, get through the first of the year and the beginning of this coming year, 2020. But she's already come up with the solution. If she can't retire, then her solution is just going to be to keep working and have her husband keep working, even though they don't want to. So she's got the problem defined, and then if she discovers that she can't retire, then the solution is we just keep working, even though we're not happy doing that. And so as I dig a little bit further, she keeps telling me she just doesn't have enough in her 401k. She just hasn't saved enough. She's not even talking about his 401k. And but I'm kind of getting the deal that she's the primary earner, and you know, I haven't asked a lot of questions. And so when the first place we went was Social Security. I'm just saying, we're going to need to get onto Social Security, and we're going to need to see what your Social Security check's going to be. Well, then come to find out, she had filed for Social Security 2.5 years earlier, because she's almost 68, still working. He's almost 70. So they had filed when they were at full retirement age, back around 66. So they've been collecting Social Security, and then they've been paying taxes on that Social Security. They even have it withheld, but it was still pretty nice. So we write that down on a piece of paper, and we got their two Social Security checks. And then she, then I find out that the hospital she works at used to have a pension. They switched it to a 401k like 15 years ago, 20 years ago. She's entitled to $1,000 a month out of that pension. And we're going to look into that, believe me. But I just, as she understands it, if she retires in February. So I start adding up his, so they got $5,000 a month before they even touch their investments or savings. And to add to that, we talked about this last week, there's a tax savings, is if all she had were the two Social Security checks and the pension, which is just $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month, she's going to pay no income tax. So then I asked her, I said, can you live on $5,000 a month after taxes? You know, and she had no way to answer that question because she hasn't really dug in there. But the reality is I get the sense that she can. So now we're looking at this 401k money and the investment of it and the income it can produce in a whole different light, because she doesn't really need more money out of it. She expects more money out of it. But there's some other problems with it, in the sense that besides some money she's got on the sidelines, which isn't a lot, if that's her only savings account and that money that's in the 401k, which between she and the husband, about 360 grand, which is a good bit of money, if they were all of a sudden going to pull out, if they needed to pull out 50 grand of that money for some expense 3 or 4 or 5 years from now, and then their income shot up by 50 grand in a given year, not only are they going to have to pay tax on the 50 grand, they're going to have to pay tax on their Social Security as well. So it's not as simple as just saying, okay, we got this much money, we can invest it, we can get this return.
Right,
ignore
right.
taxes there's, and get our percentages.
There's all kinds of pieces to this puzzle, which gets back to trust. Like, you know, you're working with somebody that does this for a living, that does it every single day. So one of the ways that he does that is through this book, Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living Retirement, which is at the website, cardinalguide.com. When we come back, more on retirement income and, you know, what can happen when you trust somebody.
Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans, aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com.
Welcome back to Finishing Well with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. We're talking about retirement income today and trust. Like, what could happen if you actually, you know, opened up your book and said, you know what, maybe this person helping me knows more than I do, and maybe they're trustworthy. And we got a situation like this you've been working with. We've been talking about our lady from last night. So pick it up where we left off.
Yeah. Well, this lady is in a lot better shape than she thought she was. And they have in their two 401ks about 350 grand. And they really, in the immediate future, really don't need any of it, because I think they could live just fine off of the $5,000. And then besides the 401ks at 350 grand, they have about another $75,000 to $90,000 of miscellaneous things that she inherited some money. So they got some non-qualified money that's sitting there as really a savings account, which people in retirement need, because what you don't want is some year where you got to dump into that $350,000, take a big hunk, you throw everything from a tax standpoint out of whack. Okay, so you need to have some money that's not IRA money over here on the side. And for those of you that don't have that, that's going to be my first priority, is to begin pulling money out of that IRA, paying the taxes on it, and then just saving it or investing it over in something that you can get your hands on in short order without paying a tax on it. But my overall goal with her, and providing she's in sync with this, is to preserve and protect that $350,000 and to come up with an amount that we can take out of there every month, but yet where we can guarantee that if one of them or both of them live up into their 90s, we're not going to be running out of money, that fund is going to shoot off an income to them for the rest of their life. You know, and that speaks of annuity, certainly with part of it. And then we also could possibly save some of the $5,000 a month. She may not need that net tax-free $5,000 a month all to live on. I mean, so then we may be able to save some of that and kind of build her non-qualified savings just so that if she has some things that come up in the future. And I don't think she has enough money to really take a lot of risks in the stock market anyhow. And she pretty much told me that on the way in, because some guy at the bank was trying to sell her some type of portfolio, and she decided to put it in a CD. She just said, and she's typical of, there's a lot of people that really have a lot of questions about stock market investing, and they really don't have enough money, given their whole situation, to put their money at risk at 68 and 70 years old.
So what about long-term care in this?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a problem we haven't addressed. We also have a problem if one of them dies before the other, and then the other one lives on for a while, then we got that $5,000 a month is in jeopardy. I mean, it just, so before I'm even getting to long-term care, I'm talking about life insurance, is that they're going to, either one of them dies, and the other one has to live on single and has to live on for a while, they're going to have a significant loss of income. So we're going to need to either cover that with life insurance or take that into account with the $350,000 and how we have that set up so that we start tapping that up to replace the income, or we have life insurance. And then with long-term care, we can package all that together to where the long-term care comes inherent in the life insurance. So, again, well, I haven't gotten that deep. I was just getting into the investment thing with her, but life insurance and long-term care are considerations for her. Now, something that I wanted, and she was really good this way, because she just came to me with worries, okay? And, you know, worries a lot of times are pretty easy to deal with when you're me, because you just need to get all the facts on a piece of paper. I talked to her for about an hour, and by the time I was done, she's in a lot better shape than she thought she was. And I haven't solved all her worries, but what I'm going to contrast that with is there's many people that come into me and they've got some, you know, whether we want to call them preconceived notions, they've got some things about the particular subject, like investing, that are just things they know and feel are true, and things that they're coming in and they're wanting to tell me, I need my plan to include this. When you invest my money, I need you to do this, and I expect you to do this, that type of thing. And I'm always listening to those things. And frankly, if they're too out of proportion, there's some people that I don't take on as clients, because I don't want to take on a job where I've got unrealistic expectations, okay? And this is fairly common. And I'll give you an example of one of those, just a recent client that, well, she's been a client for about a year, but she's becoming a much bigger client. And these people are pretty well off, and they've got their money in a lot of different places. But what I want to get clear on is this lady's a real good negotiator, okay? I mean, I just really get that sense. You know, negotiating the time of our appointment, the length of it, where it's going to be, you know, what she's invested in, what she expects out of it. I mean, she just, and that's fine. I mean, that's kind of who she is. And one of the things she's throwing out there is that, you know, within her business, she's just got a given that she could keep any amount of money in her business, invested in what she does for a living, and she can earn 8%. I mean, it's just, she can have that whole conversation in 30 seconds. You know, and far be it from me to refute that, but she's bringing that up because that's the minimum that she expects me to earn on any type of investment that I get her involved in. And that's just, that's an example of just an unrealistic expectation. And, you know, she's just expecting too much. I mean, to get 8%, I mean, this lady is in her 70s and her husband is in her 70s. She's still working. And it's just an unrealistic expectation. And because if you really punch into that, she can't earn 8% risk-free. I mean, she's hiding some expenses or she's absorbing them in something else. And, you know, we certainly could get somebody an 8% return, providing a couple things. Number one, that the markets do well over the next 5 to 10 years and they don't have a disastrous year. And the second thing is that they're willing to take a lot of risk. And people in their 70s generally are not wanting to take a lot of risk. I mean, it's really hard to stuff for a stock market decline at any period. But if you're 80 years old, I mean, you just wake up to that kind of news, you're worried about stuff anyhow. What's the point? So what I'm making the point in the story is pay attention when you go in to see a new financial advisor. I mean, it's fine to lay out expectations, but pay attention to what you're bringing to the equation and what you're bringing to the relationship.
Well, what happens when somebody like watches, say, Fox News quite often, and they see a commercial for gold, and they're like, I need to be protected.
Oh, it happens all the time. I want you to put that in gold. I have clients existing that call me up and tell me they want to do that. They get sold this stuff. A lot, but I mean, I've got some real good stories with those. But
the one that you know, kind of stuck, that like I'd never forgotten, you had the one poor lady that.
Yeah, and so we met. This lady was not a client yet, but her husband had passed away a few years before meeting us, and she was doing the best she could, and she was really taken advantage of by several people, not just the gold people, but housing contractors and different things. And she was pretty well off, but she put $200,000 in gold coins, okay? And then she's just telling me all the reasons she did it. She didn't really want to do any, she wanted to leave that right where it is. And I'm like, okay. I mean, it's not my job to tell you that you got to move all your money around, but so right where it is, where exactly is that? I mean, so we started digging into the thing. We ended up charging her a very reasonable fee, and we just really wanted to locate all her money. I mean, she had stuff that in her deceased husband's name, and then they never probated an estate with him, so we had to get him to the attorney. And then there were still stock certificates that were in his father's name, her father-in-law's name, and he had died 25 years ago. Stuff was a mess. But anyhow, she took some of the Roth IRA money, cashed it in, and put it in gold, 200 grand. And what I later found out, it wasn't in just pure gold, it was in gold coins. And so they get into the marketing of these gold coins many times because they're not regulated by the SEC and they're more of a collector's item. And then there's storage fees. And anyhow, by the time I got done with them and I got all the money back out, it was like 140 grand. Was all we got back out. And the price of gold during this 18 months before I met her was it had gone up a little bit. So, I mean, that $60,000 was just commissions, fees, storage. I tried to get them. The long and the short of it is to put a large chunk of money in gold on the bet.
Especially in gold coins?
In gold coins, but just gold period. I mean, when we have people that have large portfolios, that have some of their money in alternative investments and collectibles and gold mining stock, but we're talking less than 10% for all the different alternatives, and maybe the gold is 1% or 2%. For this lady, it was 40% of her money, you know, was in gold. I mean, it's just, so my general thing about that, that's just another one of those things that people bring something that they think is wisdom to the table, and then I've got to go to task with them. I'm not saying I won't help somebody invest in gold and do that, but it's certainly not going to be with those people, and it's not going to be with a big hunk of money like that. It's going to be a smaller proportionate amount of their money.
Yeah, which, you know, for me, you know, the neat thing between it, one of the investments can be life insurance itself. It can be annuities. It doesn't have to be those other things. And they can have all sorts of added benefits of long-term care and income for the rest of however long you're going.
Well, with an annuity, you just get a check every month. And you don't have to worry about a thing. And you're just going to continue on for the rest of your life. So we try to just be sensible about this stuff. And then the plans are different for every single person. But what I won't do is just be beholden to, like, I'm going to earn you 5% or I'm going to earn you 7%. Or we don't play that way.
Yeah, because there's a lot at stake. And there's other things that obviously you can stand back at a little further distance and get a picture. You've been listening to Finishing Well with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. Today's show on retirement income, of course, is available at the 7 Worries tab at cardinalguide.com. Don't forget the guide after Cardinal, cardinalguide.com. And you can, you know, download the PDF file there absolutely free, or just email Hans and order the book or get it on Amazon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com.